Chapter 13. A Change of Realms. From Sin to Righteousness. Regeneration is an exchange of realms. The ninth and final representation of regeneration that we will consider has to do with the Christian's passage from a state of slavery to sin to a state of slavery to righteousness. Because of this exchange, every Christian can truly confess, "I used to be a slave to sin, but I am not any longer. I am a slave to righteousness."
Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resultant in sanctification and the outcome of eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 23.
Only two masters. In keeping with all that we have seen thus far, it should come as no surprise that in these passages there are two and only two masters set forth as possible slave owners. On the one hand, there is sin, and on the other hand, there is righteousness. These two slave owners are diametrically opposed to each other. The difference between them is not a little thing. It is the difference between what is filthy and what is pure, what is honorable and what is shameful, what is noble and what is base. In short, it is the difference between life and death, between heaven and hell, and between God and the devil. Since these two masters are so completely antagonistic to each other, it is utterly impossible to serve both of them at the same time. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. All men are slaves. It may come as a shock to realize that according to these verses, all men are slaves. There are absolutely no exceptions. Both the writer and reader of these lines are most certainly slaves. We are, at this very moment, either slaves of sin or slaves of righteousness. There is no place of neutrality or middle ground between these two extremes. No one in the world is free in the sense of having no master at all. The question is not whether or not we will have a master. The only question is whether we will have a good master who blesses us with life and peace, or an evil master who curses us with death and destruction. Satan came to Eve with a perverse suggestion that God could not be trusted. When Eve decided to test this hypothesis by becoming a neutral investigator, she discovered through bitter experience that there is no place of neutrality between God and the devil. To step out from under the authority of God is to immediately place ourselves under the dominion of the wicked one, the thief, who comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Like the railroad locomotive that fulfills its reason for existing and finds true freedom only by remaining within the constraint of the rails. So, man fulfills his reason for existing and finds true freedom only by remaining in submission to his Creator. Slaves to sin. The verses quoted above make it very clear that before our regeneration, every one of us was a slave to sin. Verse 6, 17, and 20. What does it mean to be a slave to sin? It means to live under the dominating power of sin. Sin rules and reigns over its subjects, demanding their obedience. They cannot not obey it. Illustrations of this slavery abound from both the Bible and church history. Before his conversion, evangelist Mel Trotter was a helpless drunkard. Coming home after a 10-day drinking bout, he found his 2-year-old son dead in his wife's arms. In the depths of his remorse, convinced that by his absence, he had murdered his only son, Trotter vowed with tears never to drink again. But less than 2 hours after his child's funeral, he returned home, blind drunk once more. Such is the nature of slavery to sin. But it is not only the drunkard or drug addict who is a slave to sin. All men outside of Christ are in sin's bondage. Even the good moral person who has no apparent vices is a slave to sin. This is obvious from the fact that he does not believe in and worship the living God. Why does he not bow down before his Creator in love and adoration? Simply because his master won't let him. Sin has a stranglehold on his life and will not allow him to do that which is sane, reasonable, and right. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Our Lord makes it very clear in John 8:31 through 36 that no slave of sin will be in heaven. If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, "We are Abraham's offspring and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin, and the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. If therefore the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. No slave of sin will remain in the son's house forever, but freedom is the birthright of all who are truly the Lord's disciples. Slaves to righteousness. At the time of regeneration, every Christian ceases to be a slave to sin and becomes a slave of righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Verses 17 through 18. Notice that in these verses, Christians are not said to be free from sin. They are said to have been freed from sin. Paul is speaking here not about sinless perfection, but about emancipation from one master, sin, and enslavement to another master, righteousness. According to the Lord Jesus Christ, this change of ownership takes place when one who is stronger than the strong man, Christ, attacks the strong man, Satan, and takes possession of his goods. When a strong man fully armed guards his own homestead, his possessions are undisturbed. But when someone stronger than he attacks him and overpowers him, he takes away from him all his armor on which he had relied and distributes his plunder. Glorious transaction. To be set free from the dominion of Satan by the Lord Jesus Christ and to become his grateful love slave forever. All Christians are slaves of righteousness. What does it mean to be a slave to righteousness? It means to live under the dominating power of righteousness. Righteousness rules and reigns over Christians, demanding their obedience. Again, examples abound both in the Bible and in church history. Jeremiah found himself inwardly compelled to preach God's message in spite of the reproach that it brought upon him. "Because for me the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long, but if I say I will not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it." Countless times, down through the centuries, Christians have felt themselves so constrained by righteousness that they have been unable to even sleep until they witnessed a lost friend or helped someone in a time of special need. They have joyfully given themselves to be burned at the stake or torn by wild beasts because they were controlled by the love of Christ. Because of their slavery to righteousness, Christians have repeatedly found themselves unable to keep from humbling themselves and asking forgiveness when they have wronged another. The story is told of an awakening in the British Isles under the ministry of W.P. Nicholson when multitudes of rough dock workers were converted. So many stolen goods were returned by the men that the warehouses were filled to capacity and a company order had to be given. "Please don't bring back any more stolen goods." Such is the slavery of the Christian to righteousness. And what a blessed freedom it is. The wonder of regeneration, an exchange of slavery to sin for slavery to righteousness.